Hello and welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast. On this episode, you will hear a birth story from the perspective of the partner. How did he experience the birth of his daughter? What effect did having a birth doula have on his experience? And what are some of the things that were really touching as well as challenging for him? Johannes and his wife had Chloe, who is a nest doula, as their birth doula. And you can find out more information about Chloe from the show notes. Join Johannes and I as we explore the birth of his daughter. The episode will give you a nice point of view of what your partner might feel like and could be great to share with them or listen together. I hope you enjoy, and let's get started. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today we have a birth story episode, but it's a more special one because we have a partner with us. I'd like to welcome Johannes onto the show. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this episode with me and coming onto the podcast to tell the story of the birth of your daughter.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. Maybe as a starting point, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and how old your daughter is? Yeah, when did this happen?
I'm Johannes and I'm 36 years old and I'm from northern Finland. And my daughter is now soon to be 6 months, so she was born in August last year.
Yeah, yeah, great. So you've just kind of had enough time to recover from the birth.
Yes.
But it's still pretty fresh. So that's
it's fresh, but it's different all the time, different. And now I'm really enjoying to be a father.
That's wonderful. Okay, I would love us to start, before we get into the birth event itself, let's talk a little bit about before the birth. So you found out that you're going to have a baby, and how were you and your partner preparing for the birth? What were you doing to get yourself ready?
We did lots of things. First of all, my partner, she got us a doula. And also we had some courses, which we did. They were about getting prepared for the birth. But I think the best thing she did that she got us the doula, Chloe.
Yeah, yeah. You guys had Chloe, who is a nest doula with us.
Yes.
At the nest. So that's really wonderful. How did you feel about this? Were you part of that decision or?
Not really. I wasn't bad so much, and I was a bit.
She had just decided.
Yeah, she decided that would be a good thing to have. And actually, I never heard about doulas before, and I was really skeptic about it. And honestly, I thought it's more like some hippie stuff. I don't know.
Yes.
But it was really strange to me, and none of my friends never heard it, and they had the same thoughts that I have, that it's a bit weird and stuff. But I agreed to that. And when I met Chloe, and I knew it was the right decision to have her. She was really nice and telling us things that we didn't know, and she was helping us a lot. So it was a good decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really great kind of objection that you mentioned, this idea that it's something hippie maybe, or, you know, that it's not for me. I have never heard about it before. My friends have never heard about it before. And then, you know, having the opportunity to meet and to see. So in a way, I'm happy that your partner had just taken this on board.
Yes.
Because it was a positive surprise. And I, you know, it does happen that I have heard that the maybe the woman wants to have a doula and the partner is often more skeptical. And in the end, they don't take a doula because yes. of this reason.
Yes.
And that can be a pity.
I truly understand that. But after my yeah. experience, I've recommended to my friends or people who are getting yeah. a baby that they should get a doula because it helps yeah. a lot. So.
Well, I'm curious now to hear the story, and if you can also add, like, in there, the parts where you felt like having the doula was helpful for you, and yeah, let's hear more about the birth of your daughter. How did that happen? How did that begin? How were you feeling through it? Yeah.
So it was last year, end of August. I think it was Friday, and my wife called me that she thinks that the baby might be getting born soon. So I left my work and came home, and Chloe, our doula, was here already, helping her with all those peanut-shaped balls and the electric machine, TEMS machine, and Chloe was here calming us down, and the situation get a bit slower, so my wife wasn't feeling so much that the baby's coming right now. So Chloe went back home, and next morning she came back, and I think it was Saturday around 6 p.m. I think we called to the hospital, and we went to Lohja.
Was that the decision you had made in advance?
Yes, we did. We decided to go to Lohja because we read and heard lots of nice things about Lohja. Yeah. So we went to Lohja, and they took us quite small operation rooms, and we didn't actually know what's going to happen next. And there was me, Dola, and my wife. And in some point, I think we stayed there maybe a couple of hours. And I remember Chloe whispering to me that that when they come to check how open my wife is, what's the right word for that? So
we dilation.
Should be happy. Yes, dilation. That we should be happy. Whatever they say, we should be happy. And then they came and check, and it was like really maybe a couple of centimeters. And Chloe and me, we looked at each other, and we just said, "Oh yes, great! It's so good. It's you're almost there." But yeah, but anyway, and then in some point, I don't really remember the times because we were awake quite a lot already by then.
Yes, I'm sure.
Since I went to work on Friday morning at 5 a.m. and I totally stayed awake until Monday night. So it's
wow.
a bit fuzzy memories from there. And we went to the birthing room, which was empty, and it was just renovated. It was really nice in Lohja. They had this bath tube there, and we had this midwife there, and she didn't speak too much English, and my partner started to feel a bit uncomfortable because she felt that she couldn't answer all the questions. And in some point, the midwife changed in the morning. I really feel sad because I don't remember her name. She was really nice. I should remember her name.
You just
I've
told us that
times.
You didn't sleep. You didn't
yes.
sleep for almost 48 hours. So.
But she came to the room in the morning, and everything changed.
That's wonderful. Wow.
She spoke. The atmosphere in there changed totally.
And, this is such a great point you're making about the importance of the energy of the midwife.
Yes, and it was really important, and my partner felt really positive about it, and I think the labor started again because I think there was a small pause. I don't know if it was all the stress or something in between that. So, and she put all the machines there, the gas and the stuff, and she talked to us good English, and we put the water in the tube, and I remember being next to my partner there, and I don't know even what time is it, or it was maybe, but anyway, I was there with my partner, and I remember looking at our doula, and she was sleeping, and I was so jealous to her that she was sleeping there, and I think it was on Sunday morning, the contractions, or the serves, we call it serves, they stopped, and apparently it was because the body thinks that it's time to rest for a while. So we rested a bit, and then they started again in the morning, and I remember we going to the bathroom. It was like really moving around. Mm-hmm. Because we weren't in the bed or something. We weren't in the bed. We just sitting down and changing the place and being in the toilet.
So you were pretty mobile.
Yes. And in some point, I'm looking my wife and I see it. I just see that now it's time to fill up the tube again because we emptied it in some point, the tube. And we went to the tube when it was filled, and I remember looking at Chloe, and she looks the midwife, and they are they were wearing masks, and they were like, I see they were smirking or smiling or something, and then I see the water break in the pool or in the tube, and after that maybe 1 or 2 minutes. I see Chloe's face because she was looking at the end part of my wife because she was like on her knees in the tube.
Yes.
She was twisting her face, and I was thinking, what's wrong? Why she's looking like that? And suddenly the midwife said, look, the baby came out. And the baby just came so suddenly out, and the midwife said after that the baby came so quickly that she forgot to look at the time. Like that, it was over, and it was Sunday.
Wow.
Sunday afternoon.
There was kind of a surprise the moment that the baby had come out.
Yes, but like 30 minutes before that, I was looking at my wife. I was thinking somehow that, okay, it's time to fill up the tube and go now.
Now. You had a good intuition.
Yes, and that's about it. And the baby born, and it was a really beautiful baby.
Can I ask a few questions about the story you told? So you were talking about the time at home with Chloe and with your wife. Do you remember more on how you were feeling in that moment, like having the doula there, or you know, being a partner at a birth, not really knowing what to do to support your wife as she's giving birth or as she's in labor?
Well,
can you tell us more about those feelings at home?
Well, I felt safe. I felt that I have a person here who knows what to do, exactly what to do, and we are not like just these two newbies at home having the first child and just read what we got from Neuvola. I felt safe, so it was really, really good. And I like to be safe and do things safely. And my wife, she wants to be prepared for everything, and she she does everything to be prepared for anything. So that's
you're
how we
a good
did.
Couple in that sense. She's yes. for the prepared and you're for the safety. So
yes, yes. So it was really, really, really good that she was there.
And yeah.
I'm really glad that we did that decision.
How did you then... Sure. How did you then decide on when to go to the hospital? Because this is often a question that many people are kind of asking or unsure about.
The thing is that we went to these courses before the birth. So my wife put us these courses, and I remember them talking there. That the birth is not like in the movies, that it's not going to happen like in the movies. So if I think when we decided to go, I think we were calculating the serves. How much did you have? Was it in 1 hour or something?
Yeah.
I mean, Chloe did a lot. I didn't think all those kind of things. So she did a lot. And
Chloe was part of helping you decide when to leave to
go.
Yeah.
And we had like 1 hour drive to Lohja. Yeah. So
it's important to remember that you had that 1 hour to keep in mind.
But like it wasn't in the movies that the baby just comes out and everything is pain. And if I remember about the labor itself, I never thought that my wife was in pain.
Mm.
It didn't feel like it. Like I had friends who said, when your wife is having the birth, she's going to suffer a lot, and you cannot do anything. And I think that's just BS. It's not like that. You can do a lot, and with the mindset, I think it's a lot of doing with the mindset. So you are not suffering; it's not pain, and that's at least how my wife felt it. And I never felt that she was like truly in pain. It hurts, but it's a different kind of pain. I think so.
And this mindset work, was that something you did together, or do you feel it was something she was doing more? It was also your mindset.
Yes, also mine. And but she did a lot, like she put like blinders in her eyes and headphones and listened to music what she liked, and she did a lot, and I had 100% of trust in her, because when she does something, she researches it and does everything to get all the information to be prepared. So I really trusted her that she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. I want to also get to the car ride. How was your car ride? Also, were you driving all three of you together? Like you and... Yeah. So you had taken Chloe in your own car.
Yes, I think Chloe was already here at our house, but we left here. I was driving, and Chloe and my wife were sitting at the back of the car, and we drive to Lohja, but we didn't drive straight to the hospital.
Okay.
We went to some beach in Lohja. Not a beach, but like a nice walk in the forest by the lake. So we had and it was really sunny and warm summer, late summer afternoon, evening. And we were walking there like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And then we went to the hospital.
Wow. So, can you tell us more on what was the reason you wanted to do that? And what effect did it have on you as a couple and on your wife?
Well, I think we decided to go there because we were thinking that we don't need to rush because the baby is not going to come out right now. And we thought that walking in the forest or having a nice relaxing walk could do good. So that's what we did.
Yeah. And was that kind of the effect that you felt also in the end?
Yes. It was really, really, really nice. And well, actually, I think I was a bit anxious there, but Let's get to the hospital. Yes, but I could be more worse. But I think I was quite relaxed.
Yeah.
There, but yeah,
that's a really great point. What you just said, like we saw that the baby isn't coming right now.
Yes, like I said, it's not like in the movies.
Yeah. I was going to ask something else now. You said it again, so I remembered. Were you watching together with your wife maybe any birth videos before your own birth?
She was watching and she was trying to show me, but I said that I just don't like to see them.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Okay. So you knew it wasn't like the movies, but you didn't really have, your own birth, you didn't have any other picture in mind or video.
No,
in mind.
And it wasn't, I saw a bit of the bird movies, but it wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So yeah, I wanted to ask about the car ride. And then I also wanted to ask a little bit more on your experience with the hospital staff, like with the midwives at the hospital. You mentioned that there were two midwives and that you experienced a shift change and that one of them felt better for you. Can you tell a little bit more about the interaction with the staff, with the midwives? Like, did you feel they understood you? Did you feel respected?
If I felt respected, I think I felt respected by both of them. So I think I have mostly good experience in the Finnish healthcare system, so
yeah. And maybe did you have a birth plan? I will add a question.
We had a really visual birth plan, and it was really good. Even I understood it because it was with pictures. So we show it to the midwives, and they understood it. So.
And you felt like they
they were respecting that, because I heard like stories that they just come there and tell you, we are going to do this and we are going to do that. And the one thing I had to do is I had to do this brain stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The brain acronym.
Yes.
Benefits, risks, alternatives, intuition, and doing nothing. So that's what it stands for.
Yes, and that's what we did. But I don't remember anymore what was the case where we did it. But I think a couple of times we did it, or I did. I had to think about that. So.
But that's also a really important point, what you just said, that as a partner, it can often be your responsibility to make those rational decisions.
Yes.
Because the birth giver is not in a really rational space in their head.
No. No. And the most rational person, my wife, is having the labor, so it's I have to do it.
Yeah.
So she prepared me well.
And for that reason, I was going to add, for that reason, it's exactly really important for the birth partners to be involved in the preparation.
Yes.
To have the knowledge to be able to make the brain decisions and to have maybe the doula to help you with that.
Yes, the doula can help you, but the doula cannot decide.
But she can give you she can remind you of the benefits.
Yes,
and the risks.
Yes, that's what she did. I remember Chloe doing that.
Yeah. So at least you don't have to know it all in your head.
No. It was like I said, Chloe was there all the time, and she was one of the best things that we did for this birth. So
And the most important thing is how you felt that it was respected or not. And you mentioned that
it was, and so they were happy about it. Actually, they were happy about it. I remember them being really happy about the birth plan because it was really clear.
Yeah. Clear. Visual birth plans. Yes.
Yes, visual. I think I don't remember where we got it or did.
There are a few. There are a few. Yes. I mean, even if you just Google visual birth plan, you'll find a few.
Yeah.
A few tools.
So that's a good thing to have.
Absolutely.
And also you remember yourself, because there's lots of things that you really don't remember. So it's good to have that with you.
Yeah.
I think we have two copies of it with us. So.
Yeah.
So it was really good.
I also wanted to get back to the point of what you mentioned, how Chloe was whispering to you that let's be happy with,
yes,
you know, with the results. So just that moment, it sounded so special, and this connection between the doula and the partner. Because actually, as we said, the birth giver, your wife, she went into a completely like altered state of consciousness, completely different place in her brain, in her mind, with the birth hormones. And so actually it was you and Chloe who were left rational, who were left here on this planet.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So this moment that you shared with this whispering so beautifully demonstrated for me the connection and the teamwork that the partner has with the doula. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add about that?
I think it was nice, but I remember in some point, like I said, Chloe was sleeping and I was there awake. I was so jealous. You know, I felt that this is my job. I have to be here. She's just helping when it's needed, and I don't really need help. I'm just tired. I don't need help.
Could but you take I, turns? Could you take a nap also?
I don't remember. I don't think I took naps. No. I think I fell asleep a couple of times next to the tube. But that's all. But I was just a bit annoyed. But I told Chloe. And,
just
and
to she see asked someone me, else yeah, sleeping yeah, and I'm not.
Yes. And she said, oh, why didn't you wake me up? I could have been there. But, you know, I didn't want to do that.
I have heard from my husband and also from other partners that, you know, they could potentially go to sleep while the doula is there, but they almost feel uncomfortable to do that.
Yes, it really was. I think I felt the same. I felt like that it was something I had to do. I had to stay there and be there, try to be awake.
Yeah,
and I was awake. I remember I woke up a Friday morning at 4:30, something around 4:30, and I went to sleep. It was Sunday, between Sunday and Monday, 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I don't know how many hours it is, but it was quite long.
You were awake for a long time.
Yes, but yeah, but I think everything. And I felt connection with Chloe in the first day she arrived. She was nice.
Yeah.
And I work with people. I could say I know people.
Yeah.
So she felt really the right person
to
be with us. And sometimes I think about Chloe, and she was there, and it was the really important moment in our life. And somehow she feels like a part of family, which I don't see anymore, because I haven't seen Chloe for, I don't know, last September or something.
Yeah, yes. So it's almost strange not to see her.
Yes,
anymore.
Yes, it truly is.
And how do you feel also about, just if we think about the connection between you and your wife in this labor and birth, you know, how did you feel throughout it? Did you feel connected and close? Were you able to hug each other?
We felt close, but I think she was mostly in her own world.
Yeah, yeah.
That weekend, weekend. So, but like I said, she prepared me well, so it was fine. I think she was doing her own stuff.
That's
and going
really
digs
really
in her mind,
great.
I didn't want to disturb her, but I was like petting her and giving her a massage, whatever. Yeah, when I could. So I don't remember us talking so much during the weekend. But
no. So no, you were kind of supporting her sort of maybe silently or with your presence.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because and I trusted her that she tells if she needs something, but she was amazingly fine all the time.
Yeah.
But mostly in her own world.
Yeah.
And in her own state of mind, what she had there.
This is a really good point, because sometimes we have this idea that it will be like a relationship expanding experience, and we'll feel so close during it. But at the end of the day, it's an act that the woman is doing by herself.
Yes.
It's something that she has to do. And so also in terms of preparation, what I've told to many couples is like, yes, it's very important for the partner to be part of the preparation, but don't forget that it's you, the woman, who has to believe it, and, you know, because you are the one doing it in the end. You are the one going to that other place and birthing your baby. And so what women often need is the presence. And you talked about that so beautifully, that you were able to be there for her and support her with your presence.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more. I think we didn't touch so much. How was it after your baby came out? Where was she straight onto your wife's chest? Did you cut the cord? Did you want to cut the cord?
Like I said before, the baby came out so quickly. Everyone was surprised, and my wife took the baby in her arms, and of course I was crying because I was so happy to see my child. And then we looked if it's, because we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Everyone who saw the ultrasound pictures said it's a boy, it's going to be a boy, and we thought it was a boy. And when the baby came out, we were looking it, and we were saying, oh, it's a boy. And then there was like a couple of seconds of pause. No, it's a girl. We were so sure that it was a boy, but I wanted to have a girl, and I'm really happy to have a girl. I would be happy anyways, but
that was just a positive surprise after the whole experience.
Yes, it was, and it was so relieving because it's just an amazing moment. You cannot describe it. It's really amazing. And we were just there in the pool. And I honestly don't remember like anything after that for maybe 30 minutes. I don't have any clue what happened. But in some point we are in the bed.
Yeah, you have like flashbacks.
Yes. Then they ask if I want to cut the cord, and I said no. I don't wanna do that. I don't know why, because. But then they said, oh, you can do it, and then they gave me the scissors. I think that was a quite bad experience for me because the scissors felt like they weren't sharp, and the cord was really like. How do you describe?
It's quite hard and jelly.
It's really hard, yes. And I have to like really use force to cut it. So it wasn't like cutting a paper with really sharp scissors. But it was nice, even I thought, because somehow you feel that you hurt the baby.
Right. You maybe weren't expecting that also for it to be so hard. And then, I understand.
And after that, well, actually, we didn't cut the cord. Like, I think we kept it like 1 hour before we cut it.
So the placenta had come out before you cut it?
I really don't remember that, but the placenta came out naturally, and it took some while. And we kept the cord in the placenta. I don't remember, maybe 1 hour or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a lot of blood inside there. And apparently it's much better that you cut it a bit later, not straight away.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that, how it is. But that's what we did.
Yeah.
And then we measured the baby. She was 3.6 kilos.
Nice. Nice baby.
Nice baby.
Did you hold her?
Not, I don't think I hold her right there. I think it was a bit later
Okay.
in the afternoon,
Yeah.
but
So
not right there.
she stayed with your wife a bit longer
Yes,
then.
and she found her way to the milk, the breasts,
Was she doing this crawl? The breast.
yes.
That's wonderful.
And it's so funny to think, because I knew that women might get the line in the belly, and it's so funny to think that it's like a map for the baby to go to the breast. So she followed the map and went to the breast, and
Oh, that's so
she's
beautiful.
still doing it.
Nice. Oh, that's really special.
And
And then were you moved from the birthing room then to another room in the hospital?
yes, we had quite close. So there was a room where we stayed, like a family room. Maybe not so comfortable for the partner, but it was good. We were there in peace. Peace a couple of days, and they helped us when we needed them. And one negative thing happened in the hospital, but that was an accident, because my wife have collect the breast milk before the birth,
The colostrum.
colostrum, and we freeze it, and we took the colostrum to the hospital. And when we arrived, I gave the colostrum to a nurse and said that this needs to put in the freezer. So after the baby was born and we were in the family room, we started to ask for the colostrum. And it wasn't any of the freezers. And I found the colostrum in the fridge. So everything was ruined, which was a bit sad. And we weren't angry, it was just a mistake someone did. So what can you do, actually?
But it's hard work that maybe your wife had put in and you
Yes,
to do
yes.
that, and you hope that people would help you with. But I understand your
Yes.
disappointment, and I also understand your empathy towards the fact that it was a human error, and sometimes that
Yes,
happens.
it happens, and what can you do? But that was the, I think that was the worst, like what happened in the birth, that we lost the colostrum, but we survived it.
And you mentioned that your daughter is still breastfeeding 6 months later, so that's
Yes,
really
she
great to
is.
hear.
So actually, she started yesterday to taste some food, like a bit.
Nice.
But
Yeah, that's a whole new phase.
yes, it's a whole new face. And if I go back the couple of months, I think it wasn't so. She was an easy baby, but I don't think it was so easy for me, because actually you cannot do anything, mostly nothing with the baby. You cannot connect with the baby so much, or the baby doesn't connect because it's with the mother all the time, and it needs the mother. So I've been really happy this past month, because she started to interact a lot with me this couple of months. So it's totally different thing right now, and it's really nice to come home to see her smiling and stuff.
This is such a great point, what you just said about wanting to connect with the baby and what's the best way to support the baby and the mother in those first few months, when really all the baby wants is to be close to the mother and maybe on the breast. And so do you want to say a little more on what you were doing from your perspective as the partner in the first weeks after birth to support your partner's recovery and her healing from
Well,
birth?
I was working as a, like doing all the stuff, whatever she needs, I will try to do my best to provide and clean the house, make the food, everything ready. Just do everything else, except like taking care of the baby intensely all the time. So that's what I did, and I felt happy to do it. And what else? Yeah, that's about it.
I think that comes from a really important place of awareness and understanding around what it is a new baby needs and what it is a new mom needs. And sometimes if we know that or are not prepared for that, as you said, you can be quite disappointed, like, hey, I can't connect to the baby. But as I always say, you know, one of the things that partners can do best is to support the mother-baby connection for the first few months. And it will come, as you said, like now she smiles to you.
Yes, and we are having a good time. Yeah. And I knew it will come. And I wasn't worried about that at all.
Yeah.
So, but what I want to say about after the birth, I was really scared of sleeping in the same bed, like we are having this family bed.
Yes.
We don't put the baby in the crib. So I couldn't sleep at nights because I was afraid that I will crush the baby or something. But that's not the case. You are not going to crush the baby. Of course, there's a chance that you can roll over, but I don't think that's like things that will happen. So
did you then change your sleeping arrangement somehow, or did you just get over your fear?
I just got over my fears, but I still woke up like a couple of times per night just to see, and also if she's breathing.
Yes, very, very normal.
It's really,
in the first
month. It's really important. I still sometimes do it.
I don't know why. No, it's so normal.
Yes,
we all do it.
And you have like this cold sweat. You don't hear anything. Oh my God, it's the baby alive. But it's alive. But
I mean, it's worries that you never imagined you would have.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And like, yeah. I remember that as well with our daughter.
But now we have a good sleeping arrangement. So, but it's changing. I think it's changing all the time. So
your baby is changing all the time.
Yes.
So you are also adapting.
Yes. It changes all the time having a baby, I think.
You know, as an adult, we get pretty used to our expected, predictable way of life, but then the baby comes, and once you have a kid, you are forever growing and forever changing with them.
Yes,
forever.
And they are teaching a lot of things to you.
Yeah,
like being a bit more patient and stuff like that. So
you're not making the schedules anymore. It's a lot with the baby's rhythm. And that's kind of hard to accept in the beginning, as you know, living how many ever years as an adult and maybe living alone or with another partner. You know, it's a very different sort of lifestyle, isn't it?
It is. And you are really responsible. You have to be responsible. Like like me, I never thought that I'm going to be a father. I always thought that I'm not going to be. But life changes, and I think it has been the best thing in my life to be a father. I really think so.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes, but if there's any fathers that think the doulas are some hippie stuff, I think they should think again, and because they will help you a lot.
Yeah, it's very reassuring. It's very reassuring. Yes. And it's almost a lot of too much, like, to expect from the partners to be a birth coach when you've never attended a birth in your life. And, you know, how are you meant to know what to do and what to expect? And
you don't. Yeah. You really don't. It's a lots of things to do.
Yeah.
But getting prepared, it's a good thing for everything.
Yeah.
And to be safe also. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. So be prepared and safe, and if you're lucky, everything goes really smoothly.
And yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that again. Okay, well, I think we can wrap up our episode here. We've heard about your preparation, your relationship with your birth doula, your connection to your wife at the birth, how your daughter was born, and also a little bit after. So I think we've got a really nice picture overview of your story. So that was wonderful. I want to say thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really wonderful. So I really appreciate your coming on here and your vulnerability and your willingness to share. And I hope that, you know, the listeners who are partners themselves, or if they are, you know, the women, the birth givers, they can share it with their partner to just have that, also that perspective from the partner. So thank you for coming on and giving your side of things.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the three crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com.
Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthinginfinland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.